גם בשמחה.
Hello, special lady. I think it's time for a little one-on-one conversation. Talking about my baby, baby. Not you, baby. Our baby, baby. A recent scientific studies of lactation.
Baby, you gotta know the facts, lady.
Magical lady, gotta get down to business. Gonna turn the lights down real low for a slideshow. Childhood disease resistance. A wonderful woman, if you do breastfeed, a little baby will be at less risk for respiratory illnesses. Hey, I'm just talking about breastfeeding. Educate your sweet self at 800-994-WOMAN or 4woman.gov or talk to your healthcare provider. Babies were born to be breastfed exclusively for 6 months. This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station, baby.
This is Dropkick with a red dash alpha message in two parts. Break, break.
Thank you. The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138. Oh,
oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? The sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh I want it, oh I want it for my own. I've got to know, I've got to know. It is this place that I have found. What is this?
Oh my God, what is that?
When my love was so great, when the things of the past were just as good as the rest. As well, I knew a girl, just the one certain girl, who taught me the taste, and it's good as the twist. Come on, let's do the taste. When my love was so great, when the things of the past were just as good as the rest. As well, I knew a boy, just the one certain boy, who goes around making things and all around taste. Think taste, come on, let's do the taste. When my love was so great, when the things of the past were just as good as the rest. As well, I knew a nurse, see, just a one certain nurse, who goes around putting things in everyone's purse. Sees, come on, let's do the taste. When my love was so great, when the things of the past were just as good as the rest. As well, I knew a doctor, just a one certain doctor, who goes around putting things in everyone's doctors. Come on, let's do the taste. When my love was so great, when the things of the past were just as good as the rest. As well, I knew a cow, just a one certain cow, who'd give his life, oh, just to be an owl. Oh, come on, let's do the taste. When my love was so great, when the things of the past were just as good as the rest. As well, I knew a cat, just a one certain cat, who'd climb a mountain, oh, just for a rat. Oh, come on, let's do the taste. When my love was so great, when the things of the past were just as good as the rest. And that is how you do the taste. Oh, now come on, darling, oh, now let's do the taste. And then that is how you do the taste. Oh, now come on, darling, oh, now let's do the taste. And then that is how you do the taste. Oh, now come on, darling, oh, now let's do the taste. And then that is how you do the taste. Oh, now come on, darling, oh, now let's do the taste.
What is this? You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name's Chris Earle. I'm here with Derek Gary. How you doing, Derek?
Good. What is that? What was that?
That was Lawrence Wayne, Wild Man Fisher. You remember Wild Man
Fisher? Oh, I remember Wild Man
Fisher. My name is Larry from the Dr. Demento show.
Yes, I do.
Frank Zappa on the guitar on there.
Interesting.
Apparently, Frank Zappa produced his first record way back in 1969, An Evening with Wild Man Fisher. And then he sold 250,000 copies, and Wild Man Fisher came over to the house, and he threw a bottle at Moon Unit Zappa, and Frank Zappa never spoke to him again.
Wow.
And didn't give him any money. And they never re-released that album. You can only find it on album. They talked about releasing it on a CD. And, of course, there was one Japanese bootleg that took a vinyl and made a copy of it. But
sure.
Frank Zappa's wife said they will never release that because of what Wild Man Fisher did to Moon Unit. Of course, he missed her with the bottle.
That's a good way to wreck your career right there.
That would have ended the Valley Girl song.
Yeah.
As Moon Unit Zappa years later, also on the Dr. Demento show doing...
But that's it. That's
Valley Girl.
That's a fast way to wreck your career is throw a bottle at somebody.
Yeah.
I wonder if Tucker Carlson threw a bottle at somebody.
What happened to him?
You know,
people leave shows.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he didn't leave voluntarily.
No.
You know?
Nobody really does.
It's kind of like the way that you're going to leave the station.
I know.
You know, they're going to come and they're going to be like, no more.
I know. I'm surprised I'm still here 15 years.
You have to go.
I know. I even brought you back. I'm like, I'm going to bring Derek back for a little while.
I know.
We'll see how long we get away with this.
Nobody wanted that.
Because what is this? We could play anything today. And that's tame. That's tame for the list that I got today. I got a couple of really wacky ones. I'm going to see how the mood goes.
All right.
We'll see how the mood goes. Otherwise, I got some. We got some covers we didn't play last week. We could play a cover or two, maybe. Starting it off was the Scissor Sisters. That's a pretty popular one with Take Your Mama Out. I always thought that one was kind of fun. Sounds a lot like Elton John from the 70s, those
guys. It does, now that you mention it.
And my brother turned me on to that one. He's like, you got to try that one on the gay show, because I do a gay show every year, which was songs that make people think I'm gay.
I thought every week was the gay show.
Even though I'm really not.
There's a week that's not the gay show?
This is the week that's not the gay show. I hope you brought some butch music for us tonight. No. Some cisgender show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got some serious cisgender stuff going over here.
Yeah.
Like, if you know, manly music going over here.
Yeah. That's the first time I think I've even used the word cisgender. Like, it's just brand new to me.
Nice.
Even though it's been around for a few years now.
Yeah.
I guess I got to use it.
It's been around for a few decades.
Yeah. We're here at WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. How was your week? Anything exciting happen?
No. The ongoing battle with the ants is pretty much all that's it. So here's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bobby is listening.
Hi, Bobby.
So Sunday, Molly's working, and Daddy is hanging out with Bobby. And we were supposed to go out and look for die-cast cars.
Okay.
And no sooner does Molly get into the car and pull out of the driveway than Bobby throws up all over me.
Oh.
All over the sofa.
Ooh.
And I have to spend the rest of the morning cleaning that up.
How's the sofa?
The sofa's fine.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an emergency. There was me running around the house in my underwear, putting things in the washing machine.
What color was the vomit?
Cleaning up the child. He'd been eating waffles, so it was waffle color.
It was sticky.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Boy. The ants love that, too.
Big chunks of stuff everywhere.
No.
And it's like, oh, no.
The ants are going to be all over the driveway.
Because he's normally great about this. This is only, I think, maybe the third or fourth time I've ever seen him throw up.
Yeah. Usually gets out the bucket.
Yeah. And then, usually he doesn't.
Goes to the bowl.
And then he had a fever, and he was kind of unhappy. But he's on the mend.
Oh, that's good.
I love him dearly. He's a good little boy. But
he's a good boy.
It was the timing of it.
Yeah.
No sooner is Molly out of the driveway than the floodgate, then the kid throws up. And there's that moment after the child throws up.
Yeah.
When you know the child is going to throw up again.
Yeah.
And you realize that you're helpless to do anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, you may as well just sit there and let it happen. And, of course, the second round comes.
Yeah. Did I tell you the most disgusting thing I think I've ever seen? I think I might have told you this one. When I was out at UMass, it was like the middle of the winter, and there was a boy and a girl, you know, 19, 20 years old, and they're sitting on a park bench, and the boy's eating pizza, and the girl's, like, super drunk. They're both super drunk. And the girl looks over at the boy, and he's eating the pizza, and the girl just throws up. everywhere. And then the boy is like consoling her and he's rubbing her back and he's rubbing her head. I'm sitting in my car like on the curb and I'm looking and he goes in for the big kiss and the two start making out.
Oh!
And I'm like, that's probably one of the grossest things I've ever seen.
Yikes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, no, no,
yeah.
No.
I don't even know how they do it.
Can't
they
do it.
They must have just been trashed.
Can't do
you
it.
Know?
Yeah, you got to be rocked out of your mind to think about doing that.
Yeah. So
yikes.
Like pizza and vomit and all kinds of things are going on there. And plus, it's like 0 degrees out. I don't even know why they were sitting outside still. And they were like in T-shirts, you know, only at UMass.
I won't even let my wife talk to me after she throws up.
Yeah.
It's like, you go sit somewhere for the next day.
It's been a while since I threw up. You know, I think you kind of get used to it. You know, you build the stomach muscle up.
Yeah.
And, you know, only I could get queasy. People make me sick. But vomit-wise, no. Pretty good.
Normally, I have a cast iron stomach, and it's like I can handle pretty much anything.
Yeah.
The one exception is if I drink way too much or if somebody dies.
Yeah.
Like, somebody dies, I throw up.
Do you?
Yeah. Somebody who's close to me dies, I throw up.
Yeah. I get nervous if somebody's a little too close that I don't like. Like, I'll get really nervous. Like, I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just like, I don't like you. Move away. Step away. What's the worst food you've eaten? I had to preface it with food.
Well, I don't eat things that aren't food. So,
yeah.
I don't have anything in the non-food category. I could.
Well, you might
there.
Have eaten dirt or something when you were a kid.
Oh,
you know?
Well, I mean, I've had bugs fly into my mouth. We've all had that happen.
Yeah.
I honestly... Like, the worst, most disgusting thing I've ever eaten?
Yeah.
It's probably the Kahlua K-Cups. Have you had these?
Really?
Yeah.
They're really bad?
Liquid evil.
Those sound pretty good, actually.
Vile.
See, I love Kahlua.
Vile.
Yeah.
Doesn't taste anything like Kahlua.
All that's going through it, though, is just water, right?
It tastes like somebody dumped chemicals in a cup and threw some coffee beans into it, and it's vile. Absolutely vile. And my loathing for these K-Cups exceeds my loathing of asparagus, which is my least favorite food on the planet.
Mine's cauliflower. I had it shoot out my nose, like a whole flower shot out my nose once when I was a kid.
Yikes.
We had a babysitter and I was eating and she's like, you got to finish cauliflower. I'm like, I don't eat cauliflower. I was like 6 or 7. She's like, no, your mom told me I had to eat the cauliflower. I'm like, I'm not eating the cauliflower. And she made me eat it. And then when I ate it, I like, you know, took a big breath like up like that and right to the top of the nose and the flour just went up and out and said, and my brother Russ, he's always helpful. He's like, take some milk, and he's taking the milk and he's chugging it down my throat and all of a sudden, you know, I'm choking on milk and cauliflower and it's a mess.
Nice.
We lost the babysitter like about a week or two after that. She didn't come back.
So you honked up a florette is what happened.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty bad.
Yikes.
But I love broccoli now. I never liked that as a kid, but I love it. And I'm not willing to try cauliflower again, even if it's mashed into like pizza dough, because that's not a pizza.
No.
This cauliflower thing that people are doing.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
That's wrong. It's a crime against nature. It should not be happening.
I agree.
The General Gao's chicken...
Got me
back on board with broccoli.
Yeah.
Because, and this is not meant as any disrespect to the Chinese restaurants out there.
Yeah.
But you're not using like farm to table top quality broccoli.
Chicken. You're using old chicken thighs.
In your stir fry.
The Gao.
Right?
Yeah.
But that broccoli is good.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me to reevaluate broccoli. And I found that, broccoli's okay. I'm down with the broccoli.
I like that you're reevaluating broccoli at this stage in life.
Well,
you're like, why not?
No, it was a number of years ago that I reevaluated broccoli. And I said, you know what? I'm good with this now. I still will not go anywhere near asparagus. It is the most vile food on the planet.
Yeah. Asparagus is pretty rough. I can eat it, but I don't like it. I think it smells.
Yeah.
I think there's too much texture to something that's a vegetable. Like, why is it so thick? I don't understand why you really have to cut the hell out of it in order to get to it.
The taste of it is abhorrent to me.
Plus, it looks like a weapon. Like, somebody's going to stick it up your nose at any minute if you're with the wrong people eating around the fire.
Somebody might try and feed it to me, and then I'll get angry.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that the point of a weapon, is to make somebody angry? I don't know.
You see the kid that got arrested with a straw at Logan Airport?
Yeah, what the heck is up with the vampire
straw? He has a vampire straw, which is basically a titanium steel straw, and it's about, I don't know, maybe 10 inches, like the same size of a regular straw, but it was also because it had a sharpened end, you know, it looks like a needle, and you can take it and you can hold it in one hand. The thing is part of the other end was like not serrated, but it was almost like it had some texture in it so you could hold it, so you could stab with it.
Isn't that for penetrating the, what are those things?
Sure, like the, tougher, the kid's cup?
Yeah, the tougher Capri Sun.
Yeah, the Capri Sun. There? Yeah, the kid was like 26 years old.
Aren't we supposed to bring our own straw now?
Yeah. Do you remember
TSA? Did no one tell TSA?
TSA sucks. And I'm going to say it. TSA sucks. They haven't done anything new. Do you think they're really keeping the world safe?
Well,
have they helped us that much?
We haven't had any planes
in 22 years.
Let me put it this way. They haven't done anything to stop the fighting on the planes.
Right.
But they seem to be doing a pretty good job at keeping people from bringing bombs onto the planes.
Everybody's stressed out because they can't bring stuff on planes anymore.
Yeah.
He can't bring his Capri Sun and his metal straw. Then he's going to freak out on the plane and beat somebody up.
TSA's sitting there saying, no, you can't do that.
They should be giving out more booze, laxatives. Not laxatives. Something, something to just calm you down a little bit.
Well,
you know, free coffee.
Have I ever told
booze.
You how I think air travel should work?
No.
So the way that I think air travel should work...
Bring the food back, number one.
...is you book your flight.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And a couple hours before your flight, they come to your house and they knock you unconscious.
Oh, good idea.
Either gas or probably gas, because people don't like injections.
Yeah, gas is coming back.
So they gas you into unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
They load the people onto the planes like cordwood.
Sure.
They fly the planes wherever they're going to go.
Idea. Yeah, yeah.
And then you wake
Stackables.
Up. You wake up at your destination.
I like that idea.
And you never have to go through. You don't have to get to the airport. You don't have to board the plane. You don't have to deal with anything.
Yeah. You get a nap in.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
And you can get more people on the plane because you just stack them up like cordwood.
Yeah. Conscious sedation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that idea.
No, unconscious sedation.
Unconscious sedation.
Yeah, you don't want you don't want to be awake and aware that this is happening.
Unconscious
to you.
Sedation.
I think that solves all the problems with
air
travel.
You just got to hire a couple of dentists to replace the TSA, and we're all set.
You just chuck the passengers in a van, take them to the airport, load them on the plane, get them out of there.
A few anesthesiologists, a few dentists, we can get right back on track and make America go like Duncan's.
Because who wouldn't want to go to sleep in their own home and then wake up on vacation without having
all
that
idea.
Unpleasantness in between?
Yeah, I like that idea. Just wake up on the desert island that you're supposed to be at.
Where's Richard Branson? Can we get him in here and talk to him about this? I think this is the solution he needs.
That's not a bad idea. I watched Barry this week. I'm about halfway through all the episodes. It's pretty good. It's on HBO. It's got Bill Hader in it, and he plays a hitman. And he's also taking an acting class. He has to do a hit on this guy who's it's almost like an open mic, you know, it's an acting class for, you know, junior actors that are just starting out. And he decides to join up in the class, and Henry Winkler plays the acting coach.
My wife grew up with NoHo Hank.
So good. And NoHo Hank is fantastic.
Anthony Carrigan, grew up in Winchester.
Very good.
And
one of the best parts of the show.
Yeah, and my wife knew him growing up, and I think was in some shows with him growing up, and he is a super, super nice guy.
I highly recommend it. I also rewatched Smokey and the Bandit yesterday. Still dumb, but fun. And I just get so surprised, like, watching that. It's really like a cartoon. It's literally panel-to-panel cartoon. Like, you don't know anything about Sally Field or the Bandit. It's all just generic stuff. It doesn't matter. It's just racing.
Yeah.
And it was, the beginning of where Dukes of Hazzard came in and took over the late 70s for us as kids.
CB culture and smashing up cars. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It's good. It's good.
Bobby got to watch Labyrinth for the first time the other
night. Oh, that's a good movie.
Great. Oh, come on. Yeah. Good movie?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
That's my top 10 all time.
Oh, Labyrinth?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Labyrinth is brilliant.
I saw it in the movie theater.
I never did. I wish I had.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those movies that I can quote from beginning to end, like Caddyshack,
mm-hmm.
which I saw Caddyshack in the theater. I never saw Labyrinth in the theater because it kind of came and went, and it was like, it's another Jim Henson weird kind of thing.
At that point, people weren't into Jim Henson because everybody was kind of like, we're sick of the Muppets. We don't need to see serious Muppets.
And I was a Bowie fan, and Jennifer Connelly's in it, which I didn't know at the time because I didn't see it.
Oh, she was a kid. She was
rented it once on VHS, and I was like, this is the most amazing movie I've ever seen in my life, and I own every version of it that's ever been released home video.
Yep, Dark Crystal's good, too.
Dark Crystal doesn't quite do it for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Dark Crystal ever really resolves its characters or what it's about.
But he gets to take the characters from Saturday Night Live and put them in a movie.
He does.
Which was good, because the early Saturday Night Live characters are just these creepy, like, ugly-looking bird things.
And it's interesting, but, I mean, you think about Labyrinth, right? Jim Henson directs it, okay? David Bowie does the music. George Lucas produces and does a lot of the editing on the film. Terry Jones of Monty Python co-wrote the script.
Yeah.
Brian Froud, the guy that did the Gnomes book, does all the character design.
Yeah, great book.
If you take, like, all of these people who have done all of this amazing stuff leading into, like, 1985, 1986.
Music by Trevor Jones,
Jones does the rest of the music.
Yep.
They're all here. This is like a who's who of super influential pop culture types making a kid's movie that's a really good kid's movie.
It's pretty good. Did Bobby like it?
He loved it.
Yeah?
He loved it. The only thing, I think the Chili Downs freaked him out a little bit, but the rest of the movie he loved.
Mm-hmm. You ever see that one that it was kind of a Python kind of regrouping there with Mr. Toad? Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Yes.
Wind in the Willows.
Yeah.
I never got a chance to see that one.
It's okay.
Yeah.
There's allegedly a musical of Wind in the Willows in development because they were planning, prior to COVID, it was going to have its North American debut at the North Shore Music Theater.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the status of it is now, and I'm trying to remember if it was the guys who worked on Titanic who wrote it or the guys who worked on Les Mis who wrote it, but they had some powerhouse lyricists and composers behind it. And it looked really interesting.
I got You'd Lost That Love and Feeling in the background by Alan Haven. Kind of a powerhouse keyboard.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
They keep that keyboard coming.
You got some keyboard for us?
70s were all about the keyboard.
Yeah. I was listening to a lot of Steve Winwood this week.
Why would you do that?
Oh, he's great. Come on, Spencer Davis Group, Traffic.
I had a roommate.
Blind Faith.
I had a roommate who was unnaturally fixated on Steve Winwood.
Yeah.
I love Steve Winwood. I love Steve Winwood's solo.
The Finer Things.
Like, Back in the High Life is one of the great all-time albums.
Yeah, very good. 87, I believe.
And it's an album that you can sit down and listen to beginning to end.
I still quote it. When we were drinking Miller High Life, I'd always say we're back in the high life.
Yeah.
With my buddies.
And it's great. It just plays out beautifully. Vivian Stanshall co-wrote one of the songs on that album.
Mm-hmm.
You might remember him from... Oh, my God.
I might not.
You should remember him. Yeah. I should remember him.
We're remembering him now. Yeah. What's his name? Vivian?
Vivian Stanshall.
Vivian Stanshall.
What the heck was the Bonzo Dog Band?
Oh, the Bonzo Band.
Yes.
Sure. With Neil Innes.
With Neil Innes.
Innes. I like to call him Innes.
And Vivian went on to write a lot of songs for a lot of people. Like, legit. Like, pop music after that.
Yeah.
But Bonzo Dog Band is what everybody remembers from way back. If you're of a certain age, you know the Bonzo Dog
Band. Sure.
If you're of a certain age, you're not pulling that reference
out
of
Spaceman.
If you're of a certain age, you're not pulling that reference out of thin air on a Wednesday night after you've been working.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Yeah.
But yeah, he co-wrote one of the songs on that album. I think The Finer Things is one of the best songs that Winwood ever wrote.
Oh, I got some good ones. Spencer Davis Group, Give Me Some Lovin'. Come on.
The Spencer Davis Group stuff is great.
Yeah.
But keep in mind that Steve Winwood was sort of a journeyman who was hired to be in that band.
Right.
And took it in a different direction.
Yeah. He blossomed in the late 80s.
He did. Steve Winwood is a much mellower, like, this is life, English kind of singer-songwriter.
Sure.
And he does real. It's a little bit like, I think if you like Mark Knopfler post Dire Straits, you probably also like Steve Winwood. Because they mine a lot of very similar territory.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I always like the Dire Straits. I think they could have been better.
I will recommend Swimming to Philadelphia, Mark Knopfler's album, All Day Long. It's brilliant.
He's no Wild Man Fisher.
No. Never threw a bottle at Frank Zappa, which is smart. Don't throw bottles at Frank Zappa.
That's true.
Don't throw bottles at anybody.
What do you got for deep cut for us this week?
Don't throw cars. I may have a deep cut in here. But I wanted to start off on something else this week, if we can.
Sure.
And there is a deep cut associated with this. The Bruins are doing the thing tonight. Have you been watching the Bruins?
No.
They set like every...
They won, right?
They set every NHL record for doing everything this past season. Most games won, most points scored, fastest team to 100 wins, on and on and on.
I'm like that trans girl that doesn't know anything, the Bud Light girl. I'm kind of like her. I'm like, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. So they're playing Game 5 tonight. They could shut out the Florida Panthers and move on to the next round of the playoffs.
See, I didn't even know Florida had a team. That makes no sense to me. They have a hockey team in Florida?
Yeah, it's in Miami.
All right.
Yeah. Like, I am with you on this.
A lot of drugs.
Okay.
You can buy a hockey rink.
If you live in a part of the country where the median temperature exceeds 50 degrees, you don't get
you shouldn't
a hockey
have
team.
A hockey team, no.
No California hockey, no Florida hockey, no Arizona hockey, no Texas hockey. I don't. Does Texas even have a hockey team? They must. Yeah,
Dallas
Stars. Tyler Seguin's down there.
Yeah,
or was
the Stars?
The Dallas Stars.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Because we're gonna trade in on.
I like that curling they do.
The Cowboys.
That's a fun one.
That's a different sport.
I know, but that would be fun. Like to have those big curling ones, like hockey sticks with curling things.
Curling,
like the big ones?
Wouldn't curling...
They're like tea kettles, right?
Wouldn't curling be more interesting with a goalie?
Yeah.
Like, you got the people coming down with the brooms, trying to get the stone in the house.
Yeah.
And there's a goalie standing there trying to push him off.
Yeah.
And, like, knock it away with his stick, but he can't because the stone's too heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in a future version of It's a Wonderful Life, they should just have George Bailey. He should be curling with his brother, and then he goes into the drink.
Nice.
Jack Ferreira and I talked about Bill
wait,
Butters.
Wait, Bill Butters.
I remember this one.
Calm down.
Yep.
So this is... It's
the best hockey fight ever.
I picked up this single years ago.
Yep.
In April of 1975, the Hartford Whalers of the American Hockey League, who would go on to become the Carolina Hurricanes, were playing Minnesota and set the AHL record for penalty minutes in a hockey game. This game was called by Bob Neumeier. And if you grew up around here, you remember Bob Neumeier used to be one of the guys on WBZ.
Sure.
He was their weekend sports guy.
Yeah.
He subsequently went on to NBC, where he called hockey games. And right up to the end of his career, you would find him every Saturday covering horse racing during Triple Crown season. So Neumie got himself some pretty sweet gigs out of NBC. But back in 1975, he was a marketing guy for the Whalers when one of the local stations down there asked him to be the radio voice of the Hartford Whalers. And he does the play-by-play on this hockey fight, which is
a doozy.
One of the best pieces of sports audio you will ever hear.
Jack Ferreira and I talked about Bill Butters, a conspicuous absentee in period number one. But the first shift, he's out there drawing a minor penalty.
Larry
throwing some punches at Larry Plow.
Larry Plow went after him, too. And that gives you some idea. If you're a regular follower of the Whalers.
Well, now Brackenberry and Selwood want to go. And here they go. Brackenberry and Selwood. Brackenberry gets two right hands. Selwood wrestling him now. 15 feet inside the line. Here's Butters sneaks a shot on Plow. Bill Butters
from behind.
Punch Larry Plow.
That's all. Here comes the bench.
We've got a wild brawl here now. Lee is in on Butters. McCartan picks off French. We've got a wild brawl here at the Civic Center. Both benches emptied. Al Smith involved. Players fighting everywhere inside the Saint zone. Everyone paired off for TU now in Carlson. Two players wrestling down there. It looks like Hank Slabin,
Bob. I'll tell you, that's one of the most ungentlemanly, sneaky, just plain rotten things I've ever seen. Butters came from behind, came up behind Plow and cold cocked him from behind. Smith and Garrett are at it. Hank Slabin has somebody down, Landon, and
Hank Slabin's hurt, Bill. They're calling for the trainer. And now Gambucci and Hurley, who are wrestling at center, come up, and now it's Smith and Garrett fighting. Wild scene here at the Civic Center as players in sticks and gloves all over the ice. The irony of the situation is Selwood and Brackenberry, who started it all, are now kind of just hugging each other at center ice, dancing around. But you're right, Bill, the despicable act by Bill Butters, sucker-punching Larry Plow. And now, here we go. We still got Smith and Garrett involved. with Busnick and Ricky Lee, and Landon's out there with McCartan, and here we go again. And
Smith and
wants
Garrett.
A piece of Garrett. But Garrett hasn't taken off his mask. And now Nick and Carlson come together. And now Nick wants Carlson. That's obvious.
This may be the main event. He was just holding off, holding two Saints, one in each hand. Oh, Carlson just cold cocked Nick.
And Nick comes right back at him. Here they go. Fatio and Carlson. Look at them slugging each other.
And down here in the far right hand, Brackenberry and Selwood still having some comments, still taking some swings. It looks like Saturday night at Roseland in New York. Everybody's paired off. All the good guys in white and the other ones are in blue. And the linesmen, now Frenchie and Hampson are going at it. Selwood and Brackenberry. Bob, you watch the left-hand boards. I'll watch the right, and we'll just kind of override each other. How about that?
Well, now Butters and Swain are going at it in front. Smith now flailing away at Garrett. Right hands by Al Smith on John Garrett. Carlson and Fatio are separated. Nick's face is bloody. We've got a wild scene here in Hartford. And the irony of it all, look at the two trainers, Joe Altot and Glenn Gostick, just calmly chirping at the line. Selwood and Brackenberry finally get rid of each other. We've got cups and sticks.
Nick is cut, and he's going right to the box after Carlson. He shrugs the linesman off, gets spun around, and now both linesmen are in front of Cavotillo. He's going into the visitor's box if he can get there, Bob.
Well, affable Bill Henderson, the Oilers' director of minor officials, must be counting his breath down there because he's got Carlson in there and an angry Fatio and a cut Fatio whining at Mr. Carlson. But as we suspected, Glass Bell let this get out of hand. It all started, and now Butters and Swain, and Smith wants a piece of Butters. Look at Al Smith against Bill Butters.
He just rides him right out of the play, too.
Smitty kills him.
Smitty is really laying it on Butters, and Butters takes another right hand. Now O'Donnell is into it.
And Fatio comes up on Butters, and now Brackenberry and Swain go at it. They go into the well at this St. Penley bench. This just mayhem out in the ice. Fatio racing it after Brackenberry, and now Carlson out of the penalty box. I've never seen a fight like this in 20 years.
Right into the players' bench and in the Saints players' bench, there is a battle like you wouldn't believe. Fatio and Carlson are down on the floor on the players' bench, Bob. You've got to get up here to see it all.
Well, we hope this ends soon. Cooler head. And now fans throwing beer down there. I hope they don't get involved in that because then it really will get nasty.
I don't know. Alan Glassbell better get out his pencil. He is going to have
his hands full, and there's still fights breaking out everywhere on the ice. I've never seen a scene like this, Bill, ever. I've seen many a nasty brawl, but never one as vicious and as long as this one.
Take it. Once you have mastered a good shot, you must learn when to use it. It's important when you practice your shots to always shoot towards the target. Control of any shot comes from a close or open blade. To keep the shot low, close the blade. And to shoot it high, all you have to do is open the blade. Remember that backhand shots are more difficult because of the curved stick. When attacking a goaltender, never carry the puck in front of you because he knows you cannot shoot from that position. The goalie takes one look. He reads deke or pass, and he backs up. Don't tell him what you're gonna do. Don't give him the additional advantage. Scoring goals is tough enough without giving the goalie the edge. Carry the puck beside you. Now you have him guessing. Then, if the goalie backs up to the crease, shoot. If he stays out, deke. The attacker always has to react to the goalie's position. This is why freedom of thought at high speed is so important. At 35 miles per hour, with two or three guys chasing me, I have about a quarter of a second to look, analyze, and react. So you should never predetermine what you're gonna do. You've got to be able to think on the spot. The backhand is used quite often when you have a chance to deke the goalie in a one-on-one situation. Stick handle the puck from your forehand to your backhand. Remember, the puck has to be near the heel of the stick for control. Then hesitate. Hesitate and shoot it high. Always upstairs where the goalie can get a foot, hand, or stick. Scoring goals by deflection or tipping requires standing in front of the net and waiting for the shot, and usually struggling with a big defenseman. It's not for me. The type of scoring play that I find truly satisfying is to receive a pass from Larry Robinson in our zone, which beats one foot checker and then I take off, wide open for the other end. Through center ice and over the blue line, I exchange passes with Steven Pierre. Then I take the puck and head for the net. Hold the goaltender on the short side. Fake the shot and then slip the puck to Steve. He shoots. The red light goes on. Goal! For me, it's more fun than most goals that I score myself. To move it on a goalie with two or three guys chasing behind, and then to be able to completely dominate the goalie mentally is just a great feeling. To get a netminder moving one way and then control the puck in heavy traffic and put it in from another direction is the kind of a personal reward that makes all the training and hard work worthwhile. It's always a challenge, and that's the fun in playing the game.
NHL legend Guy Lafleur, Chris Earle.
That's some toe-tapping right there,
scoring.
Man.
Scoring.
Good stuff. I don't think I've ever heard that one.
That is the only time...
So good.
That is the only time you'll ever hear background singers say, deke,
That's, you can do it. You know you can do it.
So that's Guy Lafleur. I every time I see a player on a breakaway,
yeah,
I think about that.
Did you play hockey?
I did not play hockey, but yeah, me neither. My brother did, my nephews did.
I had a pair of skates.
Yeah, I could never really figure out how to skate well, so hockey wasn't going to be my thing. But it's like, I see a guy on a breakaway, and it's like, if the goalie moves up, if the goalie moves back, take your shot. If the goalie moves up, deke.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He gives you a lesson, and he gives you some toe tapping there.
So this was, he put out an album basically to teach kids how to play hockey.
It's called Lafleur.
Called Lafleur with an exclamation point. The end of it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the album, they put this song on there. I guess because the kids had to hear Guy try and sing.
It's good stuff. He just passed away last year, right?
Yeah. One of the all time greats.
70 years old. How many broken bones does he have?
Oh, quite a few.
Broke his coccyx a couple of times.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of the all-time great hockey players, a thorn in the side. You did not want to mention Guy Lafleur around Bruin fans.
No.
In the late 70s or early 1980s, because he was one of those guys that just made our lives miserable.
Five-time Stanley Cup champ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glory days.
Mostly on the Canadians. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, and that was when every NHL season ended, it seemed, with another battle between the Bruins and the Canadians that the Bruins lost.
Mm-hmm. I had a little Steve Winwood in there, While You See a Chance, from 81, I believe. It was 80 or 81.
Absolutely.
From the Ark of a Diver album. A great, great Steve Winwood song. Like I said, I went to the library, I picked up some Steve Winwood's greatest hits, and I've been listening to that this week. And I'm like, that sounds a little bit like Genesis. You mentioned, what else did you mention there? It sounded like some early Joe Jackson, some 82 Joe Jackson a little bit, Night and Day album, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really
there's like a little cluster of Joe Jackson's doing it, Sting is doing it in 1985, Dream
right.
of Blue Turtles,
yeah.
Steve Winwood is doing it, where they're all sort of moving in this same direction musically.
Right.
And they're bringing in a lot of jazz, and they're bringing in a lot of Caribbean rhythms, things that were happening in the UK in the club scene,
yeah.
because reggae and ska were very big at that point in time. And they were sort of taking a slower, mellower version of that and putting it into their music. It's a great, great little period for music.
It is. Speaking of Caribbean music, Harry Belafonte died. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. 96 years old. I don't think you have any arguments at that point.
No, he was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just brought that. He had very distinct sound to him and all through the 50s, 60s, 70s, and just a lot of great stuff. And big... He was an activist too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Long life, 96.
You can do a lot of stuff in 96 years. Some of it legal.
Yeah. It's amazing to me what some things people can do and then others just don't do anything.
Yeah.
It's just like, geez, what are you doing? It's like slow starters. But I liked Harry Belafonte. He was pretty good. He showed up in Black Klansman, Spike Lee.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he acted in a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was a renaissance man, Harry Belafonte.
I got about 4 or 5 Harry Belafonte albums. They're all good. Let me put a little Harry Belafonte in the background here. Here he is. Sounds like Steve Winwood's on the keyboards.
Yeah.
This is Mary's Boy Child. Was he your favorite Belafonte?
Yeah, I think Harry's the best of the Belafonte.
Me too. He's gonna sing at one point. This is very Steve Winwoody.
Yeah, this sounds a lot like the kind of stuff that he was doing in the 70s.
I said Caribbean, but it's mostly calypso.
Yeah.
Calypso is the better term for the music that Harry Belafonte did.
You know what movie he was in? Ooh, boy. I don't know if I want to bring this up. I don't know if I want to speak ill of the dead.
That's all right.
White Man's Burden. You remember that film?
Thaddeus Thomas and White Man's Burden. Oh, yeah, with Travolta.
Oh, my God.
Not
is that
very good.
Film horrendous.
Yeah, not very good.
It's terrible. Great premise. Terrible.
That's when people were figuring out Travolta pulled a fast one on us, and we didn't really need Travolta back.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino pulled a fast one on us, and we didn't need Travolta
back. Because we got that, and then we got Battlefield Earth. After that.
Awful.
And it was, we're done with John Travolta again.
Get Shorty wasn't bad. That was his first follow up, I think.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked Phenomenon. That wasn't too bad. But the one with the wings there, what was going on with that? He's like an angel or something that smokes butts.
Michael, I think was the name of that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
That had not Allie. Four Weddings and a Funeral. What's her name in it?
Andy McDowell.
Yeah. Thank you.
She's always good.
Yeah. I kind of like that movie. It's there's no substance to it, but it's a sweet little film.
Mm.
But oh my God, between White Man's Burden and Battlefield Earth, everyone decided they were done with John Travolta again. And then Ryan Murphy brought him back in the OJ thing.
Oh yeah, that was interesting.
And he was great in that.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And then he goes off and makes that stupid John Gotti movie where he's John Gotti, and it's terrible. And it's like, just stop.
It was the People versus O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson.
He played Shapiro.
Yeah, he's great as Shapiro in that.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, yeah, John Travolta. We like John Travolta. Then he goes and makes more crappy movies, and it's like, John Travolta, why do you keep doing this?
Yeah. I don't think Harry Belafonte sang in that one. Kind of blew it.
In White Man's Burden?
No, and this one that I just played, I think it was Steve Winwood the whole time. Crazy Calypso keyboard.
I don't think he sang in that either. Belafonte comes out of that sort of 1950s Broadway-influenced era in Hollywood, where a lot of stuff was moving from the New York stage onto the big screen.
Sure.
And a lot of the talent was moving back and forth between the New York stage and the big screen.
Yep.
It's a fun little period because there's a lot of energy to it. And there's a lot of larger-than-life personalities that come out of it. But it's not necessarily great cinema.
Mm-hmm.
The only other great cinema, I'd suggest, you know, the stuff from the 50s, is early 60s, I'm not saying there isn't any great cinema in there, but what mainstream Hollywood was doing at that point was still trying to create movie stars and still trying to create, you know, big rah-rah entertainment. And it really kind of died a slow and painful death in the 60s before the auteurs came along and kicked cinema back into favor.
True. I do have Harry Belafonte. Unfortunately, it's a Christmas song. Here we go. Remember this one?
We don't have the Banana Boat song? Mary's Boy Child?
Yeah, that's what I just played.
Does he actually sing on this version?
The other one. This is the Heard the Bells on Christmas Day.
Oh.
Here he goes. This is April.
Christmas in April.
That's all right.
I heard
good voice.
The bells on Christmas Day.
Where's the 26th? That could be Boxing Day.
They're old familiar.
And he makes it his own.
It's Boxing Day in April.
And
we need another holiday in between April and Memorial Day.
No, we don't.
It's too long.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we need Harry Belafonte Day.
No. No more holidays. We've got enough. There is a holiday between
Flower Day.
Yeah, no, Mother's Day is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Yeah. You said you wanted a holiday. I gave you one, and now you don't like it.
It's not a holiday for me, though. That's for my mother.
Yeah.
It's like, that's still stuff I have to do that day. I like another Thanksgiving where you just sit around and eat and drink.
There you go.
You don't have to go anywhere. Call it Thanksgiving, too. And have it in April. What's today? Let's have it tomorrow.
Where am I going to get a turkey on, like, 3 hours' notice?
Yeah. I'm going to play something awful, even though this is great. Harry Belafonte is great, and we miss him.
Great voice.
Great voice.
That was that's one of the great things about the 1950s and the early 60s. The people who were singing could really sing.
Yes.
And they all had very, very distinctive voices. And even all these years later, you listen to them.
And they were trained, mostly.
Yeah, they were trained. Yeah. But all these years later, you listen to them, and you're like, that is an outstanding performance.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're into the music or not, you gotta love the voice.
Yeah, I agree. He's good. All right, enough of that. All right, goodbye, Harry Belafonte.
That's good stuff.
He's good. I had to play Harry Belafonte. He's always good. Either a song about cocaine or a song about cabbage. Which one would you like?
It's WMFO Medford. It's 2 minutes to the 6 o'clock hour. Did we PSA?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cocaine or what?
Cabbage.
Cabbage. We gotta. I mean, is that a choice? You gotta go with cabbage.
You gotta go with cabbage.
You gotta go with cabbage.
So the preface to this one: her name is Maggie Jones. And it's from 1925.
Oh, nice.
And it's a very risky song about cabbage. Or is it cabbage? Uh-oh. We'll see.
Is this like that cherry pie song you play that isn't about cherry pie?
We'll see. It's called Anybody Here Want to Try My Cabbage on WMFO in Medford.
Anybody here